This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
I just want to welcome everyone that's just tuned into Radio K Pulpit. This is Alana Willie for you, and I will be your host for the next hour. Today, I have two special ladies in the studio with me. I've got Suzelle de Kock and Rose Ruerde, who's Rosemary. Rosemary Ruerde, who are involved in women's ministry. So Rose is an international speaker and has been in ministry for 35 years, Rose, that's a long time, and has ministered nationally and internationally. She has a prophetic ministry, and she is passionate about empowering people to understand their identity in Christ. And Suzelle is also part of leadership in GK1 Church, so she is one of my colleagues, and she's also a director of the Joseph Movement, which is combating of human trafficking, and has been involved in missionary work in Africa for the past 5 years. Suzelle, I know you've been doing a great job there. She's just come back from a mission field. And so welcome, ladies.
Thank you.
So nice to have you here.
Wonderful to be here.
Thank you.
So, yeah. So, Rose, this is the first time I've spoken to you. I know Suzelle's been here with me before. Don't you just want to share a little bit about yourself, tell the audience who you are, and also about your online ministry called Living Your Best Life?
Thank you. Thank you so much for the opportunity. Well, first of all, I have three married children, and I have seven grandchildren.
Wow.
So that keeps me on my toes.
Yes, I can imagine.
Over and above ministry. My husband and I were called into ministry when our children were 1, 3, and 5. And as I say, they're all grown up now. And I live in a little seaside town of Fishhook. And as you said, I've been in ministry 35 years. And the gift of my call is the prophetic. Mm-hmm. But my passion is women. Sure. I love to see women come to their release and understand their identity and just pick up their lives and be who they are for Christ.
Who God created them
to
be. That's awesome.
Yes. So for 35 years we had a physical church, and then with COVID and lockdown, and also my husband has passed away four years ago.
Sure.
And so I decided to go and seek the Lord afresh and had to get rid of the mindset that I was going to keep my husband's legacy alive. And the Lord said, what? He has fulfilled his commission. He has lived life to the full for me, and I have taken him home now, and so I have something more for you. And I got quite a shock when the Lord said, I can look after him, meaning my husband Lionel, better than you can.
Wow.
Please give him back to me now.
Sure.
And so the initial letting go of a physical church and stepping out, I had to really be stretched in my identity once again. But I'm loving it.
Oh, I think there's such a season for everything.
Hey, yes.
Your season and your purpose was fulfilled during that time.
Absolutely.
And God has got something new for you, which you're obviously going to share with us shortly.
Of course. So it's lovely and fresh.
Tell us about your monthly prophetic meetings in Cape Town and how that is involved, because that's obviously the new thing that God has started with you.
Well, let me first of all say I've never been a pastor's wife. My husband and I co-pastored, so we alternated. We ran Bible schools, missions into Africa, planted churches in Mozambique and Malawi. I love Rwanda. I've done two lots of ladies' conferences in Rwanda. And so the change, the meetings in town started many, many years ago when my husband and I ran meetings called School of the Spirit, teaching people from various churches how to move in the Holy Spirit. So now recently I've converted it to releasing a sound in the city.
Amen.
And it's a women's gathering, really.
Yes, it's the war of the lion.
Yes. And so whether we're blowing shofars or whether we're ringing bells or whether we're just releasing a sound and preaching the word and prophesying over women, I really just see women spearheading the atmosphere of the church.
Yes. And Rose, how did it start? What was your initial start in town? How did you end up?
The very first one I did in St. Andrews for women was called Joy in the City.
Oh, wow.
And I know the lady minister of the St. Andrews Presbyterian Church. And so wonderful that she's a woman in ministry. Mm. And that church is very historical. Sure. And they are the first church that allowed slaves in those days when slaves were not allowed within 10 miles of a church.
Wow.
They allowed slaves to come and worship.
Just Rose, if I know Cape Town well, it's not the one next to the gardens, is it?
No.
Okay. That's the only one I know.
It's right on the fan walk down near the waterfront.
Okay.
On the Somerset Road. And then they built a little schoolhouse there to educate the slaves' children. So it is one of the oldest churches in the city.
And it's got a history.
It's got a history. Wow. And when I first started using that building under Natalie Barnard, who is the lady minister there, they were physically underpinning the foundation and rehanging the roof, which is a hung ceiling, but it started to collapse in certain places. And she had this huge board outside, under construction, open for worship.
Wow.
It was
beautiful.
So beautiful. And so we saw them rehang the doors. They still have the original key for that place.
Oh,
and
wow.
So one of the reasons I meet there is because I believe there's a well of revival.
Yes.
Wow.
Amen.
And so we meet there priming the pump. They had a revival in that building. And the revival, the women that were part of that revival are in their late 60s and 70s now.
Wow.
And when I asked them how did the revival begin, they said in the prayer meeting when they were praising the Lord and praying and shaking their tambourines.
Wow.
And
so that's the sound.
I said, interesting, I didn't think of that. So right, Alana. And I said, what was the manifestation? They said, laughter.
Wow.
And they said, from that, they started attracting the hippies in.
Wow.
And the hippie revival was there.
Oh, wow.
And the start of the AOG church started in that building.
Oh, wow.
And so I believe from Cape Town to my special little place called Greyton.
And I love Greyton.
Yes. And the Moravian Mission Station at Genadendal.
Mm.
When I go there, I can just feel the groundswell of God, the Holy Spirit.
Sure.
And I believe that God wants to use us as mothers, women, corporate, in civil society, to be firelighters.
Mm. Yes. Amen.
And I believe that God will blow on the fire of revival that's in us, and then it's just going to take.
Yes. I truly believe that God is raising up women in this time like never before. I think women have always had such a unique relationship with the Lord.
Yeah.
And I think that is just to fan that, you know, to fan it all the time and to get people, as you said, women in their calling, in their purpose. And I think that is very important.
Mm.
Suzelle, how did you get involved with Rose and the women's ministry?
First of all, I just want to thank you, Alana, and thank Cape Pulpit for allowing us to come and speak on the radio station.
Mm.
We love talking about Jesus Christ. He is the Son of the living God,
Amen.
And He is faithful. I met Rose, first of all, I met you at a Beloved conference, a meeting where she ministered. And after that, I met her again at one of our other friends, Simone Simon, at a women's meeting. And one night I was in my house and I have a big area, like a braai area. Mm. And the Lord said, Suzelle, it's time that you need to open these doors again for the women. Mm. They need to come and be restored. Mm. I have something for them. Mm. And I said, Lord, how are you going to use me? I'm just a wife. Mm-hmm. And a mother, and but God, if you say yes, Lord, use me. Mm-hmm. God is willing and He's able to use you in many ways. Mm-hmm. And that morning, I phoned Simone. I said, Simone, let's do a women's thing at my house. And she said, yes. I said, get a rose. And that's how it started.
Yes.
And it's so beautiful how God brings the people. Yes. I'm also a full-time working mom and an accountant.
I didn't mention that, but you work too.
I don't have so many time to invite people and to make adverts. I just have the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And I said, Lord, you bring these women that you need to restore. This is your plan, and you need to help me to accomplish it. I'm ready. I'm going to serve them. I'm going to open my doors, and you're going to bring them. And one specific woman, she always walks past my house.
Yes.
Each time she walks past my house, she sees the dog, and she greets him. And the one day, I went out, and I started to speak to her. And I just said, well, and she asked me, she said, if you ever have something like a Christian meeting or something at your house, please invite me. I said, well, Saturday, there's coming a woman here and you need to come. And she invited like many people in the street that she walks with that I don't know. Yeah. And the people just came into my house without invitation. The Lord brought them.
Yes.
And they were restored and they received so much from the Holy Spirit. And that thing that says that we are the potter and we are the clay and He is the pot, you know. He is the one that you don't have to be worried about how, Lord. Just say, yes, Lord, I'm here.
That's
I'm going
to
do it.
Say. You were just willing.
Yes.
You know, here I am, Lord. I'll do whatever. And God pitched.
Yes.
And you know what's so amazing about that story is that someone walks past your house and they have a knowing. They have a knowing that this woman serves God.
Yes.
You know, even though I know you said there was a cross or something, but people know, they take note, they watch, they see, and that was awesome.
Sometimes you are the only Bible that someone reads.
So true.
And you need to live a life that shows God's love out to others.
Mm.
Because people are looking, they are searching for the kingdom of God. Yes. They are searching for His love. And it's only His love that can set people free, that can heal the brokenhearted. And if you say, Lord, help me to show that love, God is able to do that thing.
And that's very true what you're saying. Because you know what? People don't see God. They don't know God. They've never seen Him. They only see God when you speak to them, when you testify, and when your life witness to them. You know, because that's the only way people come to Christ. So that is so beautiful.
Yeah, let your light shine.
Yes. Okay, so let us take a short break, and then we can continue in a few minutes. Welcome back. It's Alana Willefier with Body Matters, and today I'm chatting to Rosemarie Ruerder and Suzelda Cook, and we're talking about women's ministry, impacting women, getting women to, you know, step out in the calling that God has for them, and just their identity. So, Rose, on that, we just share a little bit about your husband's passing away and how that impacted you.
Well, Alana, in 2015, the last day of April, I was down at the church building speaking on foundational doctrines, and where it says go out and lay hands on the sick, and it says raise the dead.
Sure.
So that was my topic.
Wow.
And when I got home, my husband wasn't looking as bright as normal. I said, how are you doing, my darling? And he said, it took me the whole day to make a cup of coffee, but I didn't think anything of it because our lives were very busy. Got into bed, and when I woke up the next morning, I could see he had had a stroke on the 1st of May, 2015. It was quite a shock, but my dad had lived with us, and he had a stroke, and he wasn't very badly affected. So in my lack of knowledge, I thought 5 days in a hospital – some physio and he would be fine.
Sure.
It resulted in a huge journey of miracles. We took him to a government hospital nearby. And on day four, I got a phone call from a friend, a South African that was in Chicago at the time on a medical conference, to say, I know Lionel and I know the prophecies over his life, and I want to move him to hospital here near Radio Pulpit in the north. And please go and get him discharged and we will take him to this private hospital. I said to him, we don't have a medical aid and we don't have this kind of money. And he said, it's kingdom time. I'm paying for it.
Oh, wow.
And that's, he put a half a million rand into the hospital's account.
Sure, you're going to make me cry.
I want to cry.
That is awesome.
That is amazing.
So amazing.
Thank you, Lord. God is good.
And so he had 18 days in an excellent hospital, and I saw the Lord running in those passages with the staff and got to know this medical staff beautifully and spent more time in their offices praying with them and prophesying over them. Wow. They brought my husband through a stroke, through kidney failure, lots of emergencies. And that same man paid for my husband to go for 8 weeks to a rehabilitation center and put us on a medical aid.
Oh, wow. That's so amazing.
Amazing. Yeah. And I said, God, I can so never good. Pay you back. And he said, you'll do it for somebody else. It's kingdom time. So my husband recovered very well in the first year, even so much so that he was able to be carried up the stairs in a wheelchair because he was paralyzed on the right side and he'd lost speech and, he was right side damaged.
Sure. Mm.
But we could carry him up in the wheelchair and then he would walk with his stick and he began to preach again. And he managed to preach about 10 messages with me standing in the pulpit with him. That was a wake-up call.
Wow.
When we're called to ministry together, I thought he does session one and I do session two. But now I had to hold the microphone. I had to see that the light was right on his laptop and not shining. And if he lost a word, I would have to pick up his message and preach until he found his place again.
Mm, that's so beautiful.
But it was beautiful. Oh, it was really stunning.
It reminds me, you know, God created a woman to help her husband, you know, and to support him.
Yes.
And that is such a beautiful way of just supporting your husband.
So publicly.
Yes. Yes.
And my husband would say, turn to Leviticus and then want me to read the scripture. And then I would boldly say, if anybody gets to Leviticus before me, please go ahead and read, because I'm in the index thinking, where on earth is Leviticus?
Yes.
And I just felt the Lord say, teach me to stand in my circumstances confidently and relaxed.
Amen.
And that the less we do, the more he can do by the Holy Spirit.
Wow.
Then 2017, he had a very big heart attack, and so that amplified things. And so I looked after him for 3.5 years, changing nappies, dressing him, walking him to the car. He never drove again, taking him places. Took me an hour to get him ready, and we arrive at church, and everybody goes, gosh, you two look marvelous. They don't know behind the scenes, the whole dress rehearsal to get there. And then on the 25th of October 2018, which was just the other day now, is 4 years that he's gone to be with the Lord. And in that time, God, in the beginning, grief is very difficult.
Mm.
You know, there's denial, there's anger, there's bargaining, there's surrender and acceptance. Mm. I've come to the acceptance now that I will see him again. How amazing is that?
Yes.
And that he's in a better place and he's with the cloud of witnesses. And this is my preacher's license. I think he's in the library of heaven researching documents, because that's what he was.
Yes. Wow.
He was a professor and a doctor in biblical studies and biblical counseling.
Mm.
Man with a huge brain. The thing I miss the most is at night when we put the light off, he would pray for me and for him.
Yes. Oh. That is awesome.
That I miss. Mm. But God's moved me on. Mm. And
greatest things are happening.
Yes.
It's time to shine.
And there's life after loss.
Yes. I think, you know, I've met so many women during this COVID period that have lost their loved ones. And they need to hear this message of hope that there is life after this.
Yes.
There is a new excitement that God can raise up.
Mm.
And God can use you even though you've lost, you know, your partner in life.
Yes.
God can still be your husband.
Absolutely.
And be your maker, you know, in that. And it's such a beautiful story about how God helps.
And that reminds me of Isaiah 54. You know that scripture.
Yes.
I'm sure you received that scripture many times. Where the Lord says, and I will be your husband.
That's right.
Yes. So that is amazing.
In the beginning, I tried to deny that I was widowed. I'd say I'm single. But until the Lord pointed out how he looks after the widow.
Oh, yes, he does.
And I said, Lord, I embrace that.
Yes. That God has got a special place for the widows and the orphans.
Yes, and the orphans.
Yes. And that is amazing because he steps in and he becomes your husband.
Absolutely.
And I think it must be the process for you. Obviously, you've been through many phases, like you said.
Mm.
What would you say would be like the biggest... Was it time that you would say made you feel like you could overcome, or was it just a point or a decision? And I'm asking because I know there's so many people that might be going through grieving and they're not sure when will this all come to an end. You know, what was the changing point for you?
I think personality-wise, our coping mechanism is to fight with our mouths, to freeze, or flight.
Yes.
And mine was flight. So whenever I couldn't cope, I'd either go to Greaton or to Stellenbosch.
Okay.
And hire that accommodation, line that bath, put on pajamas, sleep, and be fed.
Sure.
And in that time, the Lord would always visit me.
Mm.
I remember one day, I said to the Lord, who am I now?
Mm.
And the Lord said to me, you're not your maiden name, you're not your married name, you're not even your mother's maiden name. Stop priding yourself on these things. You're mine.
Sure.
And he said, I'm taking all these man-made yokes off of you, of man's identity.
Yes.
Mm. And then he said, come with me. And the next minute, in an open vision, I was in a garden, sitting on a swing, a little wooden swing with, you know, ropes. And the Lord himself comes walking with this huge grin on his face. And I said, where am I, Lord? And he said, you're in the garden that I planted in Eden, which is a garden of fellowship.
Yes.
We created for fellowship with him. And he came around the back of the swing, and he didn't politely... push on the little wooden swing. He pushed into my back with his hands.
Wow.
And the momentum just got more. And he said, from this day, I'm changing your rhythm.
Wow.
And so it was encounters like that where the word says the Holy Spirit is a comforter.
Mm.
But he cannot comfort if you don't open your heart.
That's true.
And so I had to get away from my identity as a minister, as a prophet, as somebody in society, and go to that heart space all alone and cry.
And that was nothing. It had nothing to do with works. It had nothing to do with your identity in anything that God or your gifting.
It was his kindness.
Just God.
God's kindness.
Wow.
I also love, I listen to Rose a lot online, and I love the one that God said, you're my little one.
Yes, come my little one.
Yes, and how God, you know, he restores.
Yes.
Mm.
Oh. You know, I met my husband when I was 16. I was married by the age of 19.
Wow.
So for 16 years, well, maybe I should say 19 years, I was under my father's roof. And then I was under my husband's covering.
Oh.
And so in this time, I'm finding little Rose.
Yes.
That never really had a chance to develop as a little girl. Because my background was quite difficult.
Mm.
I was the shyest girl at school, sat behind the biggest boy. I couldn't even do an oral.
Wow.
And now you're speaking internationally.
And what comes to my mind is that, and I know, as we said, your ministry is identity, helping women find their identity. But it's almost as if the grieving, from what I can hear, has caused you to find your identity.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Sure. That is amazing.
Yes.
Rose, if you had to encourage the listeners out there or give them a word of hope or encouragement that you feel is a now word or something on your heart, what would that be?
Well, I love this scripture, Ephesians 1 from verse 3. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly place in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace by which he has made us accepted in the beloved." And so I just see so much in this scripture. Mm. Right in the beginning, I just see God chose us.
Yes.
That we always say, "And then I came to know the Lord." No. He chased us down. He hunted us out and
so
threw
true.
His blessing on
yes.
us.
Yes. And that's so funny because the scripture I got this morning is, you didn't choose me, I chose you.
Exactly. I'm going to
bear
read it
fruit.
Now. Yeah. It's 1 Peter 2, verse 9.
That's the one I got.
Read it.
It says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light."
Awesome. Yeah.
So that's another one.
Yeah,
it's not the same.
Yeah. I think your one's in John 16, isn't it?
Yes, it says where I've called you. You haven't chosen me.
Yeah.
I've chosen you so that you may bear fruit.
Yeah. Mm.
And so that you may, whatever you ask me, I will give it to you, something like that.
That's
and
a wonderful
word for word, but it's beautiful.
Because that bearing fruit actually comes through the pressure that you go through.
Yes.
You learn patience, you learn grace.
Yes.
And it's not like a lesson. Inside of you, the release of God. My whole purpose now is to serve, to serve the body, to serve women, to serve community, not to build something with a name on it, but to be a servant of Christ, to be a mother, to be an older woman instructing the younger.
That's true.
Giving them a shortcut that they don't have to go through the yuck and druck of life.
Yes. All the downfalls and the pitfalls.
So I had to accept that I'm a widow. I have to accept that I'm an older woman. In fact, this is my birthday month and I'm going to be 67.
Oh, wow.
And
when is your birthday?
18th.
I just want to tell you, listeners, Rose looks amazing. I would never have said that.
Yes, and so I think my purpose now is to be a mom, to be an apostolic mom, to whoever will have. You see, apostles aren't called to the world. They're called to a certain audience.
Yes.
So for those that receive the evangel, the message, the commission from my mouth, I want to just be that apostolic mom.
Mm-hmm.
And that's wonderful because the apostles are the least.
Yes.
They're in the foundation. They're regarded as the dung.
Oh, shame. But they are so precious.
So that's a wonderful call to lay down. Jesus laid down his life for me. And I want to carry his cross and lay down my life for him now.
It also reminds you, Jesus is such a great leader. What did he do? He went to wash the feet of his disciples. And that is just the principle of serving.
So beautiful.
Yes.
Do we have another few minutes?
Yes, we can chat. You can. You've got some time. You can share more.
I want to tell you that I once had a dream that I landed a job that I didn't apply for. I mean, how amazing is that?
That is awesome.
And I had this in my tummy, in my belly, in the dream, that I landed a job that I didn't apply for. And the reason I took it was the people on the street were all cheering because I found this magnificent job that I didn't apply for. And I was aware that the benefits were so huge. So I said, okay, in my inner being, I'm going to take this. The benefits are amazing.
Mm.
And then this beautiful man came walking next to me, beautiful as in light.
Yes.
And he tried to scoop me up. And I did the typical female thing. I pushed my weight down onto my feet and said, no, I'm too heavy. But he scooped me up onto his shoulders. And wow. as he did, I knew it was the Lord.
Oh. Sure.
And the reality that I didn't have to lead, that I was being carried. That I didn't have to decide what nations to go to. Or do I pay the ticket and they reimburse me, or do they pay the ticket? I was aware wherever he goes, I go with him, and he is the one that leads.
Yeah.
And the dream ended, and a month or two later, my husband was ministering, and he used that scripture, "For unto us a child is born and a son is given, yeah. and the government of God shall be upon his shoulders."
Wow.
Mighty God, Prince of Peace, Wonderful Counselor. And the Holy Spirit said, "Did you get it?" I said, "What?" He said, "My church, my people are on the shoulders of the Lord."
Oh, wow.
And that's, and when you said that, yes. also, the scripture that came to mind was that, you know, when you, the Lord says, "My burden is light."
Yes.
And you were saying, "I'm heavy." And
yes.
And you were saying, "Get onto my shoulders," because God light. Says his shoulders, his burden is light.
Yes.
So when we step into what God wants to, us to step into, the burden is light.
Right.
You know, it's almost effortless.
It's effortless.
It's effortless, yeah.
And if you think that the key of David was on the shoulder, everything about the shoulder speaks about authority.
Sure.
And so when he put me on his shoulders, he was the one that went, but I went in his authority.
Amen.
Because it was on the shoulders
yes.
with the key of David. Yes. And so you could just unpack it, you know,
yes.
there's just
so much that you can actually
yes. So while my husband was in the last throes of his last 18 days was in the hospital at Christian Barnard in city of Cape Town. And the Lord said to me, when he goes, because my husband knew he was going, and he said, "When he goes, you will come into that job, that position that you didn't apply for."
Wow.
It's me and you, Rose. It's me and you. And I said, "Yes, Lord.
Sure.
I'll be free to go wherever you want me to go now," which was wonderful.
Yeah.
I also want to say for the listeners that, first of all, we're chosen. Then, secondly, we're adopted, where it says, "Adopted as sons and daughters by Jesus." Isn't that beautiful? And then, "To the praise of the glory of the grace by which he has made us accepted." So we are chosen, we are adopted, and we are accepted. And then in verse 9 of this piece that I was reading, Ephesians 1, verse 9, "Having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposes in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on the earth in him." And so we can see there that there's a fullness of time.
Yes.
And I feel that the body of Christ has stepped into that fullness of time, where there's an eclipse between heaven and earth,
wow.
where we're having more and more visitations from the Lord, that when we silence ourselves and listen to God, he speaks.
Yes,
there's right. never a time he's not speaking.
Yes.
We just need to get quiet long enough
yeah.
for him to speak to us. And so your hope for the listener is that we have an inheritance. Verse 11 says, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be the praise of his glory.
Amen.
And so we're not just working nebulously. We have an inheritance in Christ.
Yes.
And we carry his glory. We never, ever have to be an apology.
Yes.
You know, if you think I was the shyest girl at school, whether it's 7,000 in Rwanda that came every day for a week,
wow.
or whether it's three ladies in a home,
yeah, God is so ever faithful.
There's no apology. This is my inheritance.
Yes.
How great is our God.
God.
I love
Amen.
It now. I love it.
And to think, you know, God uses us in our own weaknesses.
Yeah.
You know, you said you were so shy. And, You know, where we, in our own strength, we cannot do anything, yeah. You know. Without God, we nothing. But the minute we just surrender and we say, God, here I am.
Yes.
God can use us in yes. our, in like you said, He's the potter.
Yes.
You know, we are the clay. You know, just all He wants to know is that we are pliable.
Make me and mold me.
Yes, pliable.
Let me finish awesome. This last piece of the word that I wanted to bring, verse 18. You need to know what is the hope of His calling. What are the riches of His glory, of His inheritance in the saints? And what is the exceeding greatness of His power towards us who believe according to the working of His mighty power in Christ? Mm. We are a hopeful people. We yes. never, ever are without hope because it's all about Him.
He is our hope.
He is the door of hope.
I just want to say, I think you've got the greatest job.
I agree completely. I concur.
I want that one too.
Come ride with me, says the Lord.
Oh, it's beautiful. Awesome.
Prophet Cezal, I think you're already stepping into yes. your calling. And just being there and doing what you're doing already, I think that's amazing.
Yes.
But let's take a short break and we'll chat again in a few minutes.
Mm.
Welcome back to Body Matters. It's Alana Oelifier. I'm chatting to Rose Ruida and Cezal de Kock, who is busy with women's ministry. And yes, they have got some fantastic events coming up in the future, which we're going to chat about in a few minutes. So if you want to get a pen and paper ready, we're going to give out some details. But we've got so much more to discuss. So Rose, tell us a little bit about, is your door open?
Yes.
Is there an open door?
Oh, that really excites me. Because it's been years and years and years while we were building this constituted church that the Lord started to lead my husband and I, to my late husband and I, to deregulate church. Now, there must be some listeners out there that are saying, oh, my gosh, what is this woman on about? So the first thing the Lord said to us, that we must change what I'm telling you is leading somewhere, change membership to an information form,
okay,
more than membership, because He showed us a picture of a baby in a womb, and He said, "Did the little finger ask, 'Can I be part of the hand?'"
Wow.
Or did the hand say, "Is it okay if I'm part of the lower arm?" And He said, "A body is a body because it's a body; it doesn't get permission." Mm. And so, when you come to know Jesus, you are part of the body and the family of God.
That is so true. God's been talking to me about that. Yeah. So
really?
Yes, it's been a revelation.
So awesome. And so, that was the first thing we took away, was the prescriptive form where you committed to be part of this body, and you must attend the home cell.
Yes.
Otherwise, you don't get help, etc. Then a few weeks later, the Lord started speaking to us about the spirit of generosity, and that tithing can be very prescriptive, and yes. that people feel bad because they can't give 10%. But what is 10% today?
Yeah.
Of 10,000 rand, it's 1,000 rand. You know, it's not a lot of money. And so we deregulated that and said, we don't have that kind of pressure on you. Just give from a giving heart.
Yes. Aww. But I think that scripture does say give.
It does.
Yeah.
Not give under compulsion.
Yes, whatever God lays on your heart.
And then the one Sunday, God was so being causing me to be adventurous, He said to me, I want you to speak on, we all eat the same cake. I mean, what a title.
Yeah. Sounds
and
interesting.
I went to the local shop and I brought three big cakes and Black Forest, because that's my favorite. And the Lord, I started to demonstrate this. We set up a communion table with cake.
Okay.
And how we normally have the best portion with the cream and the caramel in the middle for the leaders, and then it filters down to the people, the structure, and then the Lord was speaking to me about being Lionel and I must become servant leaders, that we must serve amongst the people, and so we all came and ate of the same cake. Allowed them to eat from the very middle with the spoon if they wanted to.
Oh, wow.
And so that we are all feasting at the same table. So this all was happening. And then the next month, the Lord said to me, get everybody to write their name on the door of the church. We had a wooden door at the back.
Okay.
with permanent marker. I went, oh my goodness. And I said, please come and write your name on the door to say that you are committing to be in time, committing to be part of an end time people.
Wow.
Not putting your name for my church name, mm-hmm. Word of Life, but you are committing to be part of an end time people. They sobbed, writing their names on that door. And then I'm getting to where we wanted to go about the open door. The last meeting, unbeknown, we dedicated our lives back to Jesus. And then COVID. So we gave the church back to Jesus. We gave the people back to Jesus. And COVID came and the door shut.
Wow.
And then the Lord started speaking to us that the end time revival is going to be fires in the individual homes. Where the man is the priest.
Yes.
Where the husband does the devotions. The husband and wife, but what I'm saying is it's not, it decentralizes it from a church building to it being you and your house.
Yes.
As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And so this is how these firehouses began. So I have now about five or six where I get invited. And so just the other day, I was at a friend's house, and seven ladies came because she advertised, my house is an open door. Two were from Zimbabwe, and a whole lot of them are in this phenomena that the whole of the north is moving to the south. They were women that relocated from Natal and from Pretoria, not knowing why. God said, pack now and go to Cape Town. And I was able to unpack to them the fire prophecies and the open houses and the fire houses and how God is bringing the church back to himself. And then he will blow. And the, those little houses become the Church of Cape Town or the church or the church of the nation of South Africa.
Yes.
He's not coming back for a denomination. He's coming back for a nation.
And tell me, Rose, just on that topic of the houses, I don't know. I'm just confirming. We are in the end times.
We
I
definitely
believe.
Are.
And I don't know how long the physical building of a church will still be longer in existence as we go into deeper into it. And for me, I believe that this is a season for those open doors, for house churches.
Yes.
Because I believe there's going to be a time when we are not going to be able to gather.
Exactly.
And we're going to have to gather in churches.
That's
like
right.
You said. And I feel like God is establishing that. And even through the whole COVID, I have a sense that that's where we're moving towards.
I believe
so I just
that.
Want to feel that that's what I feel.
Yeah, and it's also like a family that comes together, you know, eat together, pray together, anoint each other together, and carry each other's burdens, you know, and bring it to the cross. That makes it, it's like intimate. It makes it
so
special.
Intimate.
Yes.
You know? There are a lot of dream thieves that stop us stepping out in adventure. One of it is that we need to realize that each of us, our call is unique.
Yes.
We're not carbon copies. No. We're not all little fingers. No. We're not all ears. We need to be who God has called us to be. We're not a carbon copy. And I want to say very clearly, I'm not anti-church. I am a builder of church in various forms.
Yes.
So I see the church more than just in one format.
Yes.
My husband did a study. There's 14 different ways to do a service. But we stick to the same two worship songs, the offering, a message, and goodbye, see you next week.
Yeah.
And there's so many ways to worship God. And so I do have a lot of people trying to join my online called Living Your Best Life. And saying, well, I want to be a member of Living Your Best Life and I want to tithe to you. And I'm going, no, hang on a minute. I'm a kingdom ministry, but if you need to be part of a place of house of fellowship, then you still need to be committed to where you are.
Yeah.
There's place for temple and house to house. When Jesus was here, he went to the temple and they also met house to house.
Yes.
And conferencing, they're both important.
Yeah.
Just my part has changed for now.
Yeah. Yes.
And I'm loving that. I still minister in churches.
Yes.
And my job there is to encourage the leaders.
And God is a God of diversity.
Yes.
He uses different means and ways.
Yes.
You know, you will find people will go to local church, but there will be people that will find God in a...
In a house setting.
Yes. And so God cares for everyone.
It's
nothing is right because we are the body of Christ. We are the church. It's
not
confined to a building or a house or anything. It's God's kingdom and it's advancing all the time. It's growing.
Aww.
You know, we're in an ever-increasing kingdom.
Yes. I think that one of the biggest stumbling blocks of looks like we've stepped away is people ask about covering. Where's your covering?
Mm.
Well, I believe that covering is through trusted mentors and friends and advisors.
Mm.
That covering is relational.
Mm. Yes.
It mustn't be a piece of paper of an organization maybe in America, but it has to be relational.
Mm.
So that if you see me cursing my neighbor and you my friend, and we in a covenant relationship, you'll say, Rose, that's not the way to go. And so I relate to other leaders across the city.
Mm. And they need to be able to speak into your life.
Exactly.
And you need to be able to understand where they are coming from and to accept if they correct you or help you. And you know, it's very important that mentorship.
His counsel, his wisdom in the counsel of many.
Yes.
And you know that as this just evolves more and more, you will see the fivefold ministry becoming city eldership. City elders, city deacons, and they will police the gates of our cities of what comes in. And they get great authority to say we will not allow this in our city. And so it's not getting smaller.
Yes.
It's the church of Jesus Christ and the rulership of Christ in us getting bigger.
Yes.
It's awesome. We're living in the most exciting time ever.
No, that is awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks, Rose, for sharing a bit about
such a
that.
Pleasure.
And Suzelle, just tell us a little bit more about the event. Okay, so you've got a ladies' event in Hornsby that's on the 12th of November, and the Lord had given you a specific word also for that ladies' ministry. So do you want to share a little bit about what God said on your
heart? We are very excited about what God is doing. Even in our own lives, we are amazed about His goodness and His faithfulness.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever we think, what happened now, Lord? The Lord just opened another door.
Yes.
And like in September, the Lord gave me a vision of how He's going to give His people, not just women, but men as well, how He's going to give them new crowns.
Mm.
And He's going to give them His identity in Christ. And that is actually what we were speaking about the whole time.
Mm.
And I saw how God's hands is just reaching out to these people and giving them, say, you are mine and I have called you. And we had a meeting, a conference in September, and something happened and it was cancelled. And I said, Lord, now what now?
Mm-hmm.
Was I just imagining this or what? And the Lord said, don't worry, it's coming.
Yeah.
And as I was praying about it, the Lord sent my aunt, she is a pastor at the Och East in Hornsby, and she said, Suzelle, I see what you guys are doing for the women on Facebook. Would you like to come to Hornsby? I said, yes, no problem. I will speak to Rose. And that is how it started. And we haven't actually advertised it. And this morning she phoned me and said, Suzelle, 100 women already registered.
That is amazing.
And I just looked at myself in the mirror and I said, wow, God,
you're
amazing.
Mm.
It's wonderful. I always prayed. I said, Lord, let me live by faith.
Yes.
But I know that God always comes through at 99.9% with me. So I said, Lord, just come a little bit earlier through. But God said, you must trust me.
Yes.
And by faith, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
Amen.
You don't always see it, but you must trust God that it is happening.
Yeah.
So I just want to tell a little bit about the Lord showed me different crowns, crowns of righteousness, and how these women need to come into right standing with God. But many times it is unforgiveness in their hearts that stop them, and offense that make them not to receive what God wants to give them. And one thing I've learned about Joyce Meyer, she said that unforgiveness is like making poison for that person by drinking it to yourself. And God really wants to break that yoke, you know, on that people's life. He wants to say, forgive. I can give you a new life. I can give you new hope. And another crown that I saw is the crown of joy. You know, so many women go through life without joy. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. And to wake up in the morning and say, Lord, this is a new day. I want to rejoice in it. I know that you have a plan for me. I know that you have a hope for me. I know that I can do this if you are on my side. And the one he also said to me is a crown of peace. You know, is to be able not to be anxious about what is going around you. He says, in all things, when you are anxious, pray unto me, and I will bring you peace. And peace that is above understanding. That is a different peace.
God wants that peace is from God.
And that is called shalom peace that God wants to release. Knowing that my life is in the hands of God. And he will make a way. Even if I only have 2 years to live, in that 2 years, God will make a way for me. And to know that God is, in Afrikaans, is it, I as in beheer. He's got this for you.
He's got it.
He's got this for you. And I just want to read John 7, verses 37 to 39. It says, on the last day, in the great day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture said, rivers of living waters will flow from within them. By this he meant the Spirit whom those believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given since Jesus had not been glorified. And we are going to glorify Jesus Christ. This Saturday I was at another women's meeting, and the dancers just came to speak to me, and I said, don't you want to come and join us in Hansby? And they phoned me. They are coming. Standing up at 6 o'clock in the morning, and they're going to be there. So I'm just going to give you some notes about if you are in the Hansby, Overberg area, you are invited. And you are welcome to come. It's on the 12th of November. It's at the AGS Hansby Aanbidding Centrum. It starts at 9:30 to register, and then attend the meeting is starting. If you want to contact someone, you can contact Beryl Kutzer. Her number is 076-956-2957 or Mariette Zeely, 082-336-1559. They are the ones that organize everything and doing it on that side for us. We are just going there to release God's glory and telling them that Jesus Christ is alive, and he is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore.
Well, Rose and Suzelle, I know that God is going to take that place by storm, and I know that God is going to restore, is going to save, heal, and deliver, and I know the presence of God will break the yoke for people. And so, unfortunately, we're almost at the end of the program. So, Suzelle, would you end off? Just praying for the listeners today, please.
I'm always so privileged to be an instrument of the King of Kings. You know, Moses asked God, I said, who are you, Lord? And God said, I am. And today I want to encourage the listeners that is listening to this message. If you are lost, if you are hurt, there is hope on the other side. There is a healer that can heal you. And he is more than able. He is the great I am. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. And I want to take this opportunity, if you don't know Jesus Christ,
yes,
today is a day of salvation.
Mm.
And I'm going to pray the prayer of salvation and pray it after me where you're on your car, where you're at your house. God sees you and He hears your prayers and He knows the tears that run down your face. He loves you. So I'm going to pray. Dear Lord Jesus Christ,
yes, Lord,
thank you for dying on the cross of Calvary for us.
Amen.
Thank you for shedding your blood so that we can live again. Lord, today I take the decision to accept you as my Lord, as my King, and as my Savior. Lord, forgive me of my sins. I'm sorry, Lord. I repent.
Yeah.
Forgive me. Give me a new life in you. And Lord, I pray right now for every listener that listens to this message. I pray that you will touch their hearts.
Amen.
That through this message, you will bring hope and glory, Lord, into their lives.
Yes,
and thank you for the opportunity to spread your word into all the kingdom, Lord. We love you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Suzelle. And if you've prayed this prayer with Suzelle, I just want to say you are part of God's family. Believe it. And your life will never be the same again. God is able to do
exceedingly,
abundantly, more than you can ask for, in Jesus' name.
I also just want to say that if God can do it for us, He can do it for anyone.
Absolutely.
God is not a respecter of person.
Quite right.
He knew you before you were in your mother's womb.
Mm-hmm.
And every hair upon your head, He knew about.
Yeah.
And He is totally in love with His children.
Amen.
And waiting for them.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Unfortunately, it's the end, Rose, Suzelle. Thank you so much for joining.
Lana.
Thank you for sharing.
Thank you
for sharing your heart. I know this message has touched people, and I know that this event is going to be amazing. So please join if you want to. You can go on our podcast and listen again if you want to get the details. Thank you so much, and we will meet again next Saturday at the same time. Have a beautiful week from me, Alana Willie. Goodbye.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.